Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This I think just bullying. This isn't even a podcast.
It's a little bit. It's a little bit bullying. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Leah.
I'm Anne.
And our beloved third witch sister is still out in the wilds of North America in the back of her van. And Never see her again. And in her place, we have one of our comrades in making the internet community a little less male and boring. She is one half of the podcast Waffly Bollocks. As an American, I don't know that I'm saying that correctly. And she runs the Twitter account Awfully Waffly. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the pod.
Welcome.
Hello.
Yay.
Very excited to be here. Also, deeply love making Americans say waffly bollocks. It's, it's like my greatest pleasure in life.
We all have to like pause and like take a run at it, you know? Like, okay.
I was absolutely losing it when you and MJ last week were speculating about whether Zack Sabre Jr. could say bollocks on TV. And you were like, is it a swear? And I was like, no, because Americans don't know what it means.
It's a mystery word. You can say it all you want.
You can say that all day, every day. We don't know what it is.
I wasn't even sure if waffly was an American thing. I was like, oh my God, if we picked the most British possible name
it
for
our
podcast.
It is an incredibly British name, which I'm loving.
Mm-hmm. So the background to that is just that I picked the username Awfully Waffly as a pun on Chuck Taylor's finishing move. And my co-host used to have the username once upon a time, Rassle Bollocks, and so we thought it would be funny to combine the two. She's since been suspended about 3 times and is on a different username entirely. So
you kind of have our situation where there's no tunnels anymore. It's like, well, there used to be tunnels. I don't know.
Yeah. Once there were tunnels. Yeah.
We got recommended in a Discord when somebody was like, so what is this podcast about? Is this about like
wrestling?
We were like, well, back in our day, AEW had really prominent tunnels. It's really terrible.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
So Allie is still on vacation, and next week we are all gonna have another, I'm just saying this at the top, you know, so we get all of our chores out of the way. Our next host is going to be Trish Spears, who is coming back. Last time we had her as a bonus episode, but this time we're gonna make her actually guest co-host, which should be very, very fun. That's the episode that's coming out on 10/15. And then Allie will be back on 10/22, theoretically, if we can coax her back into a house. I'm not entirely positive that we can.
Yeah, it's going to be rough for sure. Only in the approach of winter is the only thing that's going to help us there.
If she gets cold enough, surely if we leave the back door open, she'll come in.
Probably.
Shaking a box of treats.
Exactly. Now, Sarah, one other thing I wanted to say is that Trish, before, while we were on our pod break, Trish and friend of the pod, Sarah, who is actually, so this Awfully Waffly, you are our third wrestling Sarah to be on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We had Sarah Shockey, my best friend Sarah, and you are number three.
It's actually not even the first time in my life I've been Sarah number three in a situation. And yeah, it's the most popular girl's name of the year I was born.
So. Nice.
And it, nice. It doesn't help that my Sarah doesn't have an internet identity, so I can't give her like a nickname or anything, and you know, she's just a cryptid. So anyways, so Trish and Sarah have actually made a podcast, so they join our ranks of female led podcasts, mm-hmm. which I enjoy. It is called the Trish and inventively it's called the Trish and Sarah Wrestling Podcast, which is actually produced by yours truly, and mm-hmm. I make them compliment Tunnel Talk in every episode, which that's the price of me doing the labor. So,
listen, if you want to hear Tunnel Talk get complimented, that's a great podcast to check out.
Yeah, listen to the whole episode just to hear me make Trish say nice things about us. Also, during our break, I just thought we'd have like a little bragging moment. Sarah, you were not on break, so you did have to address some of these things. But Anne, we're going to take a quick victory lap and, you know, just touch on some of the things that we did not have to form opinions on. Are you ready for this list?
I'm so excited.
Jade Cargill leaving.
Yeah. I saw that happen and I thought, that's nice. And I just moved on to my day.
Hey, we just let that ball right go past us.
Good for her.
How about Rick Knox being a paid assassin of the Young Bucks?
Didn't have to weigh in. Didn't have an opinion. No.
Didn't have to get in there.
No, I don't know anything about it.
How about Endeavor buying WWE? Also I don't know anything about that.
No, not my business.
How about the fact that ticket sales in some way have changed or possibly changed or maybe not changed, but definitely foretell a doom? Did you happen to form an opinion on that, Anne?
I did not form an opinion. Wow. I just put my head down and let it all flow by above it.
Would you say that this was the best timed vacation of all time?
It was pretty good. I mean, there could have been some other good times, I think, over the last year. There have been a lot of times I wish I was on vacation the last year.
Do you think that we'd be psychologically healthier if we were on vacation from, I don't know, Labor Day 2022 till, you know, Labor Day 2023?
Yeah, that's the specific year I think of. Yeah, yeah. It's nice that it really hit those two Labor Days. You can just always think, like, yeah, that was quite a year.
That was quite a year. Wow. All right. Should we get into it?
Mm-hmm.
As Allie says, y'all done here?
Y'all done here. I was supposed to host this one and I got sick. And so Leah, like the angel on this earth, offered to switch with me, which was so nice. And then I really got off the hook because she had to sum up the last month and a pay-per-view. Terrible.
When I made that offer, like, I don't regret it because it's fun, but like this morning when I was like going through 2 weeks of Shit We Forgot and a pay-per-view, I was like, oh my God, like wrestling never stops.
Never stops. And these days there's so much of it. Can you believe we had 3 pay-per-views in 5 weeks? Like,
and that's just going to be life. It's going to be a pay-per-view every month.
I can't do it. I'm just going to die.
We say that, but you know what? We started watching Collision, so.
It's true. I did watch Collision, like, almost every week, so.
That's the problem. Gas, that's the problem.
Fucking the gas Collision. Expands to fill the container.
I know. Yeah. And I had a bunch of weeks where I had plans on Wednesday, so then I kept having to watch it, like, on Thursday morning without my friends, like, a chore. I was like, I'm getting so burnt out. Just life.
Just life, boy. Man. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to launch into this, and I really need support from my community. I have to talk a lot, and so I need you guys to have, like, really supportive faces as I'm talking.
You're going
to
be
thank you so much.
So powerful.
Thank you so much.
Powerful.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So, the last time we checked in, little baby boy Nick Wayne was pretty mildly disgruntled about Darby forgiving A.R. Fox. Which I would say is good as a motivation for being disgruntled, except that we actually have not seen A.R. Fox. So
has not kept it at the forefront of our minds.
Yeah. I kind of think that, like, Darby should have been rubbing A.R. Fox in Nick Wayne's face. But anyways, so Darby and Sting beat Christian and Luchasaurus at Grand Slam. I did type Lunchasaurus, and that's just a typo that I'm living with.
This is just something that's going to be in my brain for the rest of my life,
We love Lunchasaurus.
Lunchasaurus does great work.
But then the next day on, I believe it was Collision, Christian beat Luchasaurus and Darby and actually became the TNT champion instead of just, you know, making Luchasaurus give it to him. Then on Wrestle Dream, they had this crew had two matches. Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne was in the zero, which I think was fine. I really don't have that much to offer. And then Darby and Christian in the main event. I feel like the second we heard that it was main eventing, I was like, oh.
His
ex-husband is coming. I understand.
Yeah. Oh, did Edge's contract just come up? Huh, interesting main event.
And he just happened to main event. Oh, I see. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match, which I'll tell you free. I didn't realize. And so when, you know, because I'm chronically never paying attention. And I was like, wait a minute, Darby won already? And Allie, who was watching it with me, just turns to me and goes, two out of three falls, babe. And I was like, fuck.
Luckily, you said that in the group chat, and I had already gone to bed because I had 101 degree fever. So I like had seen it before I watched. I was like, oh, good, 2 out of 3 falls. So I was prepped going in. Yeah.
That fall was Darby using Christian's turtleneck against him, which I think is possibly makes him a contender for greatest prop work this episode.
Yeah.
But Christian did get revenge by suplexing Darby into the metal ring steps, which looked insane. Christian got his second fall by count out, and then Bryce called a stretcher to take Darby out. Of course, Christian immediately dived on top of the stretcher, and Bryce danced around them going, how could you? What are you doing? You're a bad man. Christian dragged Darby back into the ring, which he had spent most of the stretcher prep time ripping apart, so it was just floorboards. Christian tried to cheat with the belt. Nick Wayne ran out for the save and then turned on Darby and hit him with it. Christian gathered Nick Wayne up and held him so gently and sweetly. Mm-hmm. And I really was like, I don't know if I'm old enough to be seeing this. And then somehow it got more insane because Sting came out for the save. Woo, Leah, you can talk. You got a lot more to go, so get it together. Luchasaurus came out for a counter save. Everything looked bad, and then all of a sudden, a video starts playing of a man in a car, and the car, and it was like one of those like it was. I wish Kenny was there just to be like, look at the screen, bitch.
It's like, well, we gotta stop beating them up. There's a video.
There's a video package. Of course, Edge appears, and I really enjoyed how everybody in the ring kind of froze and was like, so what's going to happen here? And Edge gets closer. He takes the chair from Christian and then whacks Nick Wayne with it. The bad guys leave. Edge stands in the center watching them go. Then on Dynamite, this is Thursday, so it was yesterday, Edge main evented with a promo, and he did a little rehash of his Scrum comments where he was like, my daughter told me to go play with Uncle Jay, which was cute. And then all of a sudden his face changed and he was like, now to kayfabe, Christian Cage, come out here. Where he presided to give the most romantic speech that I have ever heard anyone give, where he fully did the Meredith Grey, pick me, choose me, love me speech. Christian pulled him into a hug and then just said, go fuck yourself. Tony Khan loved that because he repeated go fuck yourself, I believe 16 times on his Twitter last night. We have so much. First of all, do you guys think I did a good job?
An amazing
That's
job.
A great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay. We have a lot of things to discuss. Anne, give me your new man rating on Edge with the fact that you know nothing about him, just on the vibes you do know.
Absolutely nothing. I'm at like a 9 on Edge.
You're at a 9.
Like, he
You're
came
high.
In, I'm high. He came in with such good vibes. Like, he's already got these deep ex-husband relationship to go into. I had seen pictures of him before because I just vaguely knew of him as Christian's ex-husband. And I was like, ooh, Christian's like a lot hotter. But like in motion, he's hot. You know, he's very tall.
Yeah. He's very tall, but in like a little nervous way where like he doesn't kind of in the way that like Buddy the Elf is nervous about being tall with the.
It's true. Yeah.
Sarah, how about you? What would you rate Christian based on what you know about him?
I know nothing about him.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy the Uncle Jay stuff. I got quite angry about that. So I'm going for like a 6. Yeah.
No. Is it like just it. Because Elaborate. He was breaking kayfabe in the ring?
Yeah, I, well, that, I feel like Christian has done so much great character work that coming mm-hmm. in and calling him Jay, like, I don't want to know what his name is. Get out of here.
That's like, true.
Shut up. Who's Uncle Jay? I don't know this man. And yeah, then I was just like, well, that doesn't make sense. Christian's done all this amazing, amazing stuff to make us everyone really hate him. And then he comes out like, oh, my daughter said, just go and like hang out with Uncle Jay because you'll be happy. It's like, what are you doing? You're undermining everything. And then, as I was rewatching this on Fight TV this morning, the stream just cut off before they even hugged. It just cut off with Edge saying, like, be my tag partner. And then it was like, the end. And everyone on Twitter was going, oh, yeah, but it was amazing because of Christian's reply. And I was like, but what?
that's was crazy. That because of the overrun? Did Fight TV not been. Get the overrun?
I think
overrun?
So. I
it
think
was like
it must
a
have been, yeah.
full 7-minute overrun. I had like a pretty similar reaction to the Uncle Jay stuff because it's like, obviously, like, I don't have a problem with him saying that in the scrum. I think it's like super sweet. But it is like, especially if they're going to have a really contentious relationship, to be like, I'm here to have fun with my best friend. Anyway, like, he's going to hit me with the chair. Although then I was thinking about it later and I was like, you know what? If Orange Cassidy gave like a passionate speech to Chuck Taylor and called him Dustin in the speech, like, I would pop for it big time. So it's like, am I a hypocrite? Like, maybe. I don't know.
A little bit. Yeah. I don't disagree with you guys. I think the reason why I wouldn't find it charming if he did it again. Like, he gets the one, right?
Right.
The reason why I am charmed about it is because every other WWE wrestler that's debuted since Bryan has done the thing where they were like, listen, AEW is fucking trash, but I'm here now and I'm going to rescue it. And so I did find it really endearing for Edge. I almost forgot his name, for which he's got two of them. And I was like, you know, the man we're discussing.
The tall man. Yeah.
The tall man. I found it really endearing for him to be like, the reason why I came here is because I want to have fun. I want to wrestle all these people. I've been watching and I've been hearing these stories and I want to be there. And so I did find that like endearing, but I agree with you guys that he can't, like, he gets the one and then he can't keep screwing this up.
No, it is true. And you're right. I'd forgotten like that it has been just about since that All Out 2021 that like we had nice debuts of people being nice about AEW and then never again. But it was funny too because Edge did seem really overexcited, like he was not facing the hard cam. The camera was trying to get his face but he kept getting the back of his head. He was just like losing his mind. I was like, this man is like an experienced TV wrestler though, right?
And like I would understand that if he was from the indies and he's used to playing to the crowd, but like surely in WWE they drill them about where the hard cam is.
Yeah.
And so I was asking my Sarah and she said that for that arena they never opened the hard cam section, so Edge would have had to face empty seats and talk to the empty seats. And my Sarah was like, I just think he got too excited and he was like, I'm not doing that.
It's very sweet when you think of it that way. Yeah.
But again, he gets it once. He gets one.
I need you looking at the hard cam next time, buddy.
I need you. You have to look at me and you have to use the fake memes, my friend. Mm-hmm. It's the fiction we've all agreed to.
Yeah. I do think like modern wrestling's relationship with kayfabe is like honestly so interesting because they're so like in and out of it. It's fascinating. Hopefully someone's writing a dissertation somewhere.
Sarah, are you troubled by the AR Fox situation?
leading questions.
Do you agree that it's troubling?
AR Fox is one of those guys that I really struggled to remember exists. Like, if I do not see him, he does not exist to me. He has no object permanence. I kind of forgotten that we hadn't seen him in a while.
So it just, like, when Nick turned on Darby, were you just sort of like, well, teenagers be like that sometimes?
It's like, oh, I'm sure Darby did something annoying. It's fine.
Darby probably deserves it. Yeah, I honestly, like, hadn't thought about him too much either the last few weeks, but then when Nick Wayne turned, I was like, oh, it makes sense with the AR Fox situation, but they should have just been having AR Fox out here. And then I was like, if he's still getting punished for the stupid Wembley situation, I'm going to be so mad.
Of all this bad behavior in that goddamn company, and AR Fox gets in trouble for apparently trying to, like, pretend that the bad thing hadn't happened for too long. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like he didn't tell them about a passport situation because
he was like hoping it was going to come in the mail. And like, that's one of those gambles where you're like, it could have paid off.
And you got to give it to him. He has not pointed a gun at anyone on a Florida freeway. So you got to give it to him.
He hasn't punched anybody. He hasn't threatened anybody. He hasn't even punched Sammy. Everybody's punched Sammy.
That's thank self-control. God. Hasn't been arraigned at all. Come on.
Wow. Maybe he has, but everyone just immediately forgot.
Ooh, burn.
Okay, but you guys are similar kind of best friends nerds to me. So I watched all of Poppin' Dogs, and I think they mentioned A.R. Fox like twice. And even they had like nothing to say about him at all.
Well, when you think about all the indie wrestlers that came up on that show, that is a little bit troubling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like recently we realized that Juice Robinson was like the guest in one of our very favorite episodes and just didn't connect the Juice that we know with the Juice who was in that episode. And I was like, oh.
He actually made such an impression on me with his dreads that I had always connected. That was my main
Juice Robinson
association.
I never did.
Yeah.
I never did. I felt like so recently, funny. I think someone said it, and I was like, that was our Juice?
I know. He's like so drunk there, too. It's just like saying the vaguest thing. Those episodes crack me up.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to add about the whole Edge situation?
Okay, I do have a question for Sarah as a Brit. So Nigel McGuinness, he says Christian Cage, like three syllables. Like for an American, it's Christian. It's just like two syllables straight out. So as a British person, can you just say that man's name?
No, because now I can't think how to say it. What would I say? I would say Christian Cage. I'd say Christian.
Okay.
Christian.
So you do. Yeah. You do say it a little
Christian.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. More distinct.
Yeah.
Much more pleasant, though. Not as absurd as Nigel.
No, Nigel. I really hate Nigel and Kevin Kelly. They make me so mad. It's not a good situation.
I hilariously have done this thing where, like, I hate them so much that I'm now no longer capable of hearing them. And so, like, periodically somebody will be like, did you hear what he said on commentary? And I'm like, no. Excalibur wasn't there. I didn't hear it.
I wish my brain would do that. When the best friends hugged and they just sat there in silence, hell was that?
Oh,
that
my
was awful.
God.
I did notice that. I'll say I did notice that. And that was that
they
was
weren't
not
even
good.
Saying other things. No. Like, what happened?
Completely left dead air. I mean, they did. Nigel did say sexy Chucky T, large and in charge during that match. And I was like, good work, Nigel. You're trying to make me like you. And then, yeah, and then they just left that horrendous, like, 10 seconds of dead air. And I was like, oh, it's over.
We're
done
control.
With you. All right. So moving on to the Seattle Freaks. When we last saw the Bucks, they had just come out to save Hangman from Brian Cage, and Nick Jackson got to do the Na-Na dance, which he fucking loved, and I loved watching. This resulted in a trios match. Apparently, the Gates of Agony and Brian Cage held the Ring of Honor trios titles. Sarah, I know you watch Ring of Honor. Many people have told me I would like Ring of Honor. I cannot add another thing to my diet, but I like they held it for a long time. Is that right? Is it like did they hold them for a year?
I think maybe not quite a year. They got them off of Dalton Castle and the Boys, but I don't remember when. But you would like Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is like Ring of Honor is like the nice chill show where like nothing bad ever happens.
I've heard multiple times that it's a better like it's for our interests it's a better show, and yet like I need the routine of it being like airing on TV, and like also I cannot do one more thing. So but at some point someday when I become independently wealthy and I don't have to have a job, perhaps.
I do feel like at this point Tony Khan should be putting me on the payroll for the amount of wrestling I watch.
I agree,
seriously.
I agree.
And instead he just keeps taking money from us instead of giving
it
to us.
Really,
what is that
up.
About
So Hung Bucks fought and got the ROH trio's titles, I thought it was very interesting that the discourse online, which up to that point had been about how the elite were losing too much, suddenly switched to the EVPs only book themselves to win. Just very interesting, I thought. It's just something I noticed.
People are super duper normal about the elite.
I would say that they have normal opinions and say normal things. Hangman barely registered that they won because he had only eyes for Swerve, who was advancing. As my friend Nico and a couple other people said, he moved like a panther down the ramp so that like you really didn't notice that he was moving. He just kept like drawing down the ramp until he was right up in Hangman's face. I love that description. I think Swerve is very sexy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The Bucks pulled Hangman away, and I think Nick did it. It was a very funny moment where they were like, hey, don't worry about him. Live in the moment, man. We just won belts. That was a very funny moment. And then on Dynamite, Swerve and Hangman had a contract signing, which was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Hangman stabbed Swerve with a pen. He also gave a promo about a dark cloud that had been haunting him. And I would say that the internet wrestling community was pretty normal about that and really understood how to interpret basic metaphors. And then at WrestleDream, they finally met in the ring and did sex to each other. Really a lot. And I loved it.
They intercoursed each other
big time. Swerve was in a Long Island situation where he was the babiest baby face to ever exist. I said in the schedule, I think he could have murdered and eaten Hangman in that crowd, and they would have been like, yeah, loved it.
I did see a tweet from an internet man that was like, boy, the crowd really loves Swerve, except the women in the crowd who were screaming for Hangman. I was like... Yeah, well, I mean, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong, but I'm pretty sure the women also were
screaming for Swerve,
because
too, yeah.
It was really difficult to figure out who I was cheering for, because that was a Hunk City situation.
Yeah.
Hangman was wearing pretty insane gear. We will be talking about it, but we have a bunch of different things to talk about. What should we get into first?
Let's do the gear first, since you just said it.
Oh, my God. Hangman, he looked like he was Darby. Like, he looked like he was wearing little black shorts with brown tights under them.
Yeah.
I love Hangman, and I want him to get new gear, but that was bad. We all agree that it looked bad.
If he wants that effect, he should just wear fishnets under little shorts.
I agree. I would applaud him if he would do that. Not brown. I think find him fishnets that I think would look good on his skin. I think that would.
Hangman, if you're listening. Matt Jackson, if you're listening, just pass that along.
Yeah. Don't say that to me. You know I don't like that when you say that to me. Sarah, what did you think of Hangman's gear?
I genuinely agree. I'm trying to think if anyone has brown gear that I like, because the Bucks have that one set that's like green on the front and brown it's on the back, or the other way around.
California gear. Awful. I also don't like that.
Awful, yeah. Awful. No. Yeah.
I actually like that one, but you know.
It's the California gear, is it?
Yeah, it's the California flag.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of these flags are. The only flag that I've been like forcibly made to recognize is the Chicago one.
Yeah, we all can recognize that one. You drive into the city of Chicago and you're like, oh, like, what's going on around here?
Yeah. When Swerve hit Hangman's arm and there was an audible popping noise, I can't express what happened to my body. Like, my entire body cringed, and I pulled into my shell and motored out of there. Did you guys feel that something had gone terribly wrong to Hangman's body in that moment?
I had a high fever, so I don't think I actually processed it. To be honest with you.
Okay.
Pass.
Well, and you're starting to milk that a little bit. it was really loud, and I loved it, because very, very few times do people get me with injuries that I'm sure we'll get to it, but Kenny did a chair shot last night that I did not like, and I don't think he should have done it. But this was a fun injury thing where I believed it was real, but I wasn't scared. I was just I think he took Hangman's arm off. I think it's gonna fall off.
I don't know. I'm not. I think I'm constantly on alert for Hangman getting hurt at the moment, because of the horrendous concussion situation that he had, mm-hmm. that we don't like to think about. Especially like that match he had with Brian Cage, where he ended up with the face paint all over his tit, and it was like, what happened? Have you got a horrendous like internal bleed? Oh no, it's face paint. It's fine. Like, yeah.
It's true. Very degrading to have Hangman covered in face paint, but it's from like Brian Cage, who I don't want him to be putting his hands on Hangman. So life is suffering.
So true. Yeah. The Dark Cloud stuff, it was wild people's reaction to it, because it was like so mild and I thought very effective, and then everyone just like lost their minds about
Everybody was doing this insane thing that I just didn't understand, where they were like, it is only about depression, and if you think it's about anything else, then you're projecting. Or it's only about CM Punk and he's going into business for himself. And you're like, I need you to stop talking, because I don't always understand. Like, a work shoot stuff, really, I don't always love it. But like, when it works on a level to like, if you walked into that episode, the signing episode, and you had no idea, you just missed, you took the vacation year that we discussed. You don't know who CM Punk was. That promo works because you can read it about depression. But if you know other things, you can say he is talking about multiple things. That is the goal. That is what people should be doing. You shouldn't be getting on a mic and saying like, you didn't return my text message. That's bullshit. I don't want to be hearing that. But if you tell me a complicated metaphor that could mean five different things, I don't mind if it secretly means that you're mad about somebody not returning your text message. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, seriously. Art should mean different things to different people. That's what good artists do. But
and like, even beyond that, like, has nobody ever had a depression that was exacerbated by someone being a dick at work? It's just like life, right? Like,
I am depressed because of many people, including myself, but also.
Sure. It's like a complicated, lots of things go into it.
What do you think, Sarah?
No, absolutely. This happens on, I was going to say a weekly basis, but more often than weekly now, where everyone is just going nuts about something that someone said, and I've just lost all patience for it, or I'm just like, I'm just not having this conversation with you. Like, you're an idiot. Shut up.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
by you, I mean the entire internet wrestling community.
The idiot you. Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm constantly being like, and it's, and you know, I should get better at being like, well, this is a stupid opinion and I'll just close out of it. But instead, of course, I must jump on my microphone and say how stupid they are.
This one felt like everyone was just starved of discourse. It's like, boy, it'd be nice to talk about CM Punk again. And then they just like,
I know it did feel a little bit exciting because Hangman hasn't addressed it in any way, but it's sort of like, okay, well, you just spooked him off, because now he never will, because you guys were such freaking narcs about it.
It's so funny too to have like everybody be like, Hangman went into business with himself, where Punk was like literally naming names like every week when he was out there. It's just like, you guys, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the internet needs like a collective like swear jar, but for the phrase going into business for himself. Like,
I agree. Seriously. I agree. We put it on a high shelf and they can't have it back until they show good behavior for maybe a year.
Yeah. 6 months without incident. They can have it back.
6 months without incidents. We'll have a little chalkboard. We'll just keep resetting it every hour on the hour. Meanwhile, the Bucks were doing singles matches, and I didn't enjoy that. I really had a really stressful week.
It made me feel unsafe,
I really did. It felt like when a baby sees her dad for the first time without a beard and is, like, really, really scared. That was me. So a trios match was booked for WrestleDream, which was the Bucks versus the Lucha Brothers versus the Guns versus Orange Cassidy and Hook.
If you're gonna book all brothers, like, just commit to the bit, you know?
Like, I don't, why, there's like, there's not like a limited amount of them. There's
right. Just, is there a brother shortage around here?
Get the Seidels in here. Get Bandito and Roosh in here. Like, is it Bandito and Roosh, or is it Gravity and Roosh?
Gravity and Bandito, I think.
But Roosh is not also brothers with them, right? I feel like they have a third brother.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Roosh does have a brother, but I think you're right that it's Gravity and Bandito, but Roosh does have a brother.
Gravity and Bandito.
Well, whatever. someone from LFI needs to send a brother pair over here. We were on vacation for all of the OC versus Hook stuff. I don't know why that's happening, but I'm not mad about it.
No, even if you were here, no one would know. No one knows why that's happening. There's no reason.
It's in the same genre of when like OC and Darby were just friends for a month for no reason, and it's like. I mean, it's like, I'm not mad. Like, I like these guys, but OC already has friends. Like, what are we doing?
I would love it if they hung a hat on that. And, like, there was just, like, a segment where Chuck and Trent were like, you're always looking for other tag partners. But we're right here. We'll always be right here.
I'd love it if they would actually tell a story that was like, you only care about the belt. You used to care about your friends, but now you only care about the belt. And then, now you're teaming with Darby. Like,
that would be so cool. I don't think they would. I don't think Chuck's ever going to do it.
They love to withhold things from us.
The only time Chuck wants to do a story is in service of Yuta, which is very adorable in terms of fatherhood, but, you know.
I could enjoy more from him.
I could enjoy more.
For sure.
I will say that Matt Jackson and Hook weirdly had great chemistry in the ring. That was very fun.
They did. It was very fun. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was Googling this whole time. And Roosh is brothers with Drillistico and Dragon Lee.
I knew you had a brother.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, he could have been in this. I mean, not that I am mad that OC and Hook are there, but I really do want there to be a brother tournament. Like, I thought that they got close when they were like doing the trash talk between the Guns and the Young Bucks the last time, where they were like, we're going to decide who's the best brother. And I was like, can't just do this. We need a tournament. I want to see this go down full time.
I want a seated bracket. Yeah. I want the whole thing.
Yeah. I want a brother bracket. Let's see. So, the Wrestle Dream match, everybody had a ton of fun. Orange Cassidy got thrown around like absolutely crazy. The Bucks won, which means that they get a shot at the tag belts, which we later found would be FTR because they defeated Aussie Open to retain. I am mad about that on a couple different levels.
The fact that we're going to have to see FTR versus Bucks again,
I just saw insulting. It and I didn't like it the first time. And
I've
also
seen it
like,
so many times.
I didn't like just the idea that like Aussie Open could have won. And then I could have had, like, an Aussie Open. I mean, I know that the Young Bucks actually wrestled Aussie Open somewhat recently, but, like, a good, long, meaty match for the tag belt, I would have liked that. That would have been better. Instead, I got to watch FTR again?
Well, technically, they don't have to because it was some kind of thing like the Young Bucks can cash it in at any time. So they could just sit on it for a bit.
Yeah, you're right that they kept emphasizing that, where they just kept being like, and it's at their discretion, which I did think that that was strange because I was like, if you've set this up so that everyone's expecting FTR versus Young Bucks 4, surely you're doing it at full gear. But it is weird that they just keep emphasizing it, and I would think it was so funny if FTR just kept being like, so are we doing this for full gear? And the Bucks are like, it's at our discretion. We'll decide.
Yeah.
Maybe the Guns will win it before that, you know?
We might be holding for Revolution. I'm not sure.
please, anyone, there must be a tag team that can take... And like, Aussie Open was supposed to win, right? Like, it was just because Mark Davis snapped his wrist that they didn't win, I think.
Oh, so there was an audible called in the match?
I think so.
I would forgive them more if that was the case.
I think that, would make that sense. Is the case because he snapped his wrist.
I knew that he snapped it, but I didn't realize that they called an audible on the and changed the finish. Oh, that's such a huge bummer then. If they were set for a run and oh, that's so sad.
And Kyle Fletcher tweeted like the saddest little tweet and it broke my heart. He was I'm sorry, I don't know where we go from here or something. But there was an I'm sorry in there and I was like, Kyle, no.
Kyle, no, we're sorry.
We're sorry, we failed you. You don't have to be sorry, baby. No.
I would like to get a little raunchy about Mark Davis.
Yeah, Leah, always. Yeah.
While I missed a pod in August, you said on the podcast that Mark Davis was the only wrestler that you would actually have sex with in real life, and it staggered me, to be honest. Yeah, I was like, wow.
It's true. It is true. And Allie and I realized something when she was here. It's because he's shaped like a lesbian. He's shaped, and he has a lesbian's haircut. He has a lesbian body. And like
when you said that, I was like, this is a point of view, like you're the straightest person on your podcast situation for me, because I was just like, what?
There's certain moments where I'm like, he's going to pull out a ring of keys and ask me if I need to let him, if like I need him to let me in somewhere. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to embarrass myself. Like, I just find him so attractive in a disconcerting way. And like, there's certain angles where I'm like, his body is unreal. I'm sorry. I apologize for what just happened.
Don't apologize.
Sarah, get in there.
I'm so distressed by the fact that I have actually seen Mark Davis in person twice at indie shows, and I have like no memory of it. I think I must have overheated and just forgot.
You saw that butt in real life?
Yeah.
And you blanked it? Wow.
Yeah, I was, it was at like one of the first indie shows that I was forced to go to before I liked wrestling. And I was sitting next to like a 10-year-old girl who was screaming her head off and kept saying like, I'm sorry, but I just have to scream when I see my favorite wrestlers. And I was like, girl, yeah. She did the little like crowns up thing to Aussie Open as they walked past, and they both like put their little hands on her hands.
Sweet. I love when wrestlers are cute to kids.
Yeah. I know, it's the best thing on earth. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I remember that and nothing else.
My Sarah has a theory that she described to me last night that she would like to see a skit where Mark Davis is like fully dressed and he's like a she's all that situation where when he's fully dressed and has like a baseball cap on, he looks completely normal. And then he like slowly strips and he's wearing like his green trunks and that ass is out. And you're like, oh my God.
I am curious what he looks like in street clothes. It's like really hard to
envision. No one here apart from me is stalking Mark Davis's Instagram then.
I actually have to apologize to the Mark Davis community, because recently, I think the last time this came up, I was like, I just don't know what Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher talk about when they're not in the ring. And someone sent me a compilation of times that Mark Davis has tweeted about Kyle Fletcher, and I'd like to apologize. Those men are in love. I didn't know.
For sure.
I'd like to withdraw my comments.
Yeah. Leah, after we get off this episode, I'm sending you so much content. The two-way thing, like you've sent me stuff before I was unaware of, and I will Aussie Open indoctrinate you. I was going to say something about Mark Davis. It's gone.
Was it disgusting? I'm just going to put a bleep right here.
Whatever you say next, we're going to bleep out, and we're going to be like, Sarah!
Wow! Yeah. Why would you say that?
Sarah, this pod is not age-restricted!
No, but I do want to say on his Instagram story, he frequently posts gym selfies where he's wearing like Spice Girls t-shirts to work out. And I just love him so much.
Oh my God.
That's nice.
That does not sound like a safe zone for me, but I will be checking it out. I will be.
And he doesn't have his like scary wrestling face on, and his hair's all fluffy, and he's just the cutest. And I don't understand how a man that size and shape is like also a tiny fluffy kitten, but he is.
It's crazy how large those guys are. Like when they were next to FDR, it was like, whoa, I have not. Yeah. It was like action figures from two different lines for sure. Like, I did not.
Kyle Fletcher in particular has like little twerp energy. And then you see him next to somebody and I'm like, oh, you're tall. And actually kind of your shoulders are kind of broad. How do you have the energy of Dennis the Menace?
Yeah. It's Max Caster is kind of the same way. Yeah. Like, just Caster a little guy. But yeah, solid.
We are going to start skimming pretty quickly, because we've already made some choices. Chris Jericho gave Sammy Guevara a speech about how in order to succeed in life, you must kill your father. He didn't manage to do that during their match, and Jericho held out his hand afterwards for a sportsmanlike shake. Sammy punched him in the dick about it. Well, that's Sammy.
That's why he keeps getting punched backstage.
Don Callis showed up to escort Sammy away with a little smug look on his face. So the next day, the Callis family came out in the ring where Sammy explained his motivations, which were nothing. They were nothing. He doesn't have them.
That's Sammy.
Jericho came running out to take out his revenge on Sammy, and that seemed insane because I was like, Jericho doesn't really do things that he's not sure are going to work. But it turns out the whole thing was a setup so that Kenny would come running out to save Jericho. Kenny was not dressed. Kenny was wearing...
Was this the shorts and red t-shirt or red sneakers?
No t-shirt.
Situation?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Sneakers. Yeah.
No shirt, gym shorts, and red sneakers. Yeah, he was not... Isn't that dress
something else? Yeah.
Jericho and Kenny decide to team up just because they have compatible interests, I guess. Like, they both were kind of like, well, we've loved, we've lost, but we're both pretty mad at our enemies right now, so let's just do this thing. They did a tag match on Collision, and it was the first time an Elite member had a match on Collision, which was a great moment, except then the two of them gave the world's worst fucking promos. Like, I love both of those men. I actually love Chris Jericho more than most people like Chris Jericho, including probably like most of the members of JAS. But the promo from both of them were so incoherent and nonsensical. I was like, and how long have you men been doing this? Yeah, have you done this before?
Seriously. It's interesting. This whole feud, I feel like Kenny's, and I hate to criticize Kenny. I love Kenny. And if he wants to phone it in, that's his business. But he's like, I don't understand anything that's going on with him, really. I have no emotional investment.
I'm trying to temper all of my opinions by the fact that I think that there's a lot of real life stuff going on. There was some hint somewhere that, like, when he was out a couple of weeks ago, that he was dealing with a personal issue that had nothing to do with wrestling or injuries or anything. He just had a personal thing going on. And then, like, I just think, like, this whole year has just been like a setup to cause the Elite to do their worst work ever. And it's not really their fault. But at the same time, as an Elite fan, I'm like, this is your worst work ever, though.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. And I'm not mad at you. I get it. But this is nonsense.
Yeah. It's like every once in a while, like I had a time in my life when it was like things were going really bad and I really was doing a bad job at work and like my like supervisor was covering for me. I really appreciate it. But yeah, that is the Elite situation. Yeah. Like, I'm ready for them to sort of get ready to go now that they've re-signed and the dark clouds have lifted.
Yeah. You know. I have hopes that it seems like the Bucks and Hangman are getting close together, and they're both seem like they're hinting towards heel, going heel. And if they go heel, but Kenny stays face with Ibushi, and there's a break there, that could be interesting. It could be something.
Yeah. But I'd be very interested in that. And I did feel like Kenny this week... I think on Dynamite, like, he came out and he was, like, high-fiving everybody and being was, like, a very babyface energy to me and all that. So I'd be interested. I'd love for Kenny and Ibushi to have some emotional resonance in this. I'm really surprised at how little there's been.
I know. Well, I mean, people have also said that, like, Ibushi's not 100% back and that, like, he's dealing with a bunch of stuff. And apparently he's had the worst year of his life, like, completely separately. I mean, I don't think CM Punk bullied him, but, like, he had his own he had his own problems. And so, like, I think that, like, there's just, like, it's really hard to be, like, the art is bad when I know why the art is bad, but it is, it is. I mean, I keep wanting to be like, but it is bad.
But
art.
It is and bad.
I would like to see better art, but I know they will. I know they will. They'll just simply and easily in 2024 make good art. Yeah. As will we all.
Definitely. Nothing could go wrong.
Nothing could go wrong in 2024. I know that's true. let's see. Oh, so then, first of all, by the way, I'm just going to say, I know I shouldn't say this because we're like running out of time, but Edge crashed Kenny and Jericho's promo. Yeah. Between the three of them and Renee, the amount of Canadianness in that room was absolutely out of control. But then Kenny did the weirdest thing where, like, his vibe was like, We had a one night stand 20 years ago, and I don't think that you remember. I remember, but I don't think you do. And I'm keeping cool in case you do, but I think that's what's happening. Do you guys agree that he had a weird face on?
Extremely weird, yeah. I thought Edge was going to snub him or something, or refuse to shake his hand because he was doing such weird, nervous energy towards him. I was like, what? Like, that's something. But no, it was fine, apparently.
It was fine. Apparently. I know. It was a very, very strange.
I'm immediately onboarding that one night stand 20 years ago. And Edge doesn't remember it. Kenny is the only one who does.
Not remember.
Because Kenny was like a little twink. He had the golden curls. Like, it's a whole different energy.
Yeah. You know? He had no idea. Edge is just here to have fun. He has no idea what he did. Kenny and Jericho fought Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher because Kyle Fletcher is in the, he's at least family adjacent, if not full family. Sarah, how are we feeling about this as something to give Kyle Fletcher something to do? Do you feel positive about it?
Yeah, I feel like it makes sense as much as anything else makes sense because Will Ospreay is kind of aligned with the Don Callis family. So it makes sense for Kyle Fletcher to be. It keeps him busy. It keeps him out of trouble. He'll be fine. I just need him to be in a ring where the barriers are appropriately far away because he has a bad habit of throwing himself into barriers and injuring himself. I just want him to be like looked after, happy, healthy, safe, not smashing his head open. That would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to have one member of Aussie Open in top form.
Honestly, can Mark Davis stop injuring himself? I can't deal with it. We just got him back.
It does seem like a good pivot, like in terms of they've had a few injury things where it's like, wow, really have to shift some stuff at the last minute here. So, but that does seem a good place to slot him in.
Yeah. Although the way Don reacted at the end of the match when Kyle took the pin seemed like he was throwing him out again, so I don't know if that was just like a one-off thing.
Oh my god, is Kyle gonna be the Yuta where he just gets abused?
I mean, maybe that would work.
Every faction should have a little guy that everyone just shits all over all the time.
The whipping boy.
That's right.
And then at the end of that match, Hobbs showed up and beat the shit out of Kenny. I'm not mad about Hobbs being in the family. I think that's probably a good idea, but that segment went on a very long time. Do we agree? It could have been 2 minutes shorter.
At least 2 minutes. It was crazy how long it went on for, especially when they had to replay the one segment. So they were going over anyway. It was like, we could have wrapped 2 minutes out here. Yeah. No problem.
All you had to do was show Hobbs throw Kenny into the chairs, and then we all would have gotten the point. That would have been enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was funny because I feel like Hobbs reappeared like pretty shortly after Wardlow had his little squash, and I was like, boy, we're really getting everybody out here, aren't we?
Of the original Colliders, Hobbs is the one I have the least against. So I am like,
for sure.
I'm like, yeah, you can come back. You can come back to our side. Just behave yourself. Just
be exactly. Cool.
Okay, BCC. This section I would say is a mess because it is a mess. I'm just going to take a run at this. So Eddie did win the belt from Claudio at Grand Slam. I didn't see that match because I was putting together a bed, but I hear that it was very good. He now has two belts. Love that. And he made Claudio shake his hand, which I think was more important than the belts.
That Ring of Honor thing where they insist on sportsmanship, I don't mind. I
think it's particularly good for Eddie, who, you know, really likes that respect stuff, even though he doesn't give it to everybody. Do you guys know who Josh Barnett is, or are we going to skip that? I don't know.
He was new to me. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to skip that. That was
he really got a little spotlight. Yeah.
He did, and he, like, the speech he gave was so funny, where he was just like, "And child, one day you'll learn to wrestle good." And I was like, Claudio's been a while.
I know. And Claudio's not that young. And he was like, "Claudio, you're a young up and comer. And I love that for you. And
when you grow up, you're going to be a great wrestler." What is happening here?
Claudio, how old is Claudio? 42. Good God.
Man.
I didn't even realize he was that old.
Why was Josh Barnett talking to him like he was Mick and Wayne? What happened?
That's weird.
Eddie also wrestled Shibata. They seem to have blast. Cool. I like Shibata. That's fun. Bryan Danielson feuded with Ricky Starks for 5 minutes, but then like they kind of got rid of that too. That, do you think we're going to go back to that well? Maybe.
Possibly. Ricky just keeps getting top guys thrown at him, and it's like, why?
And does nothing with him.
Does nothing.
And I'm sorry, the discourse is like, guys, if you don't start treating Ricky better, he's going to go to WWE. And I'm like, I wish he would.
By all means, be my guest.
Yeah. Oh my God. The important part is that Brian fought Zack Sabre Jr. I don't like technical wrestling, and I loved that match. I loved it. I thought it was crazy. There's times when like men are just like rolling around in the mat where I'm like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be looking at, and I don't enjoy it. That match, I kept being like, I don't think his arm is supposed to do that. His knee, if someone did the things that they were doing to each other's knee to my knee, I wouldn't walk again. I just wouldn't. That would be it.
They were doing like full Kama Sutra moves, like on top of each other and stuff, yes. Which I actually have spent the last week watching a lot of Total Bellas, and Brian Danielson is into the Kama Sutra, apparently. So that's a little gift from me
so
to you.
I was so convinced that that sentence was going to go, I've been watching a lot of Kama Sutra videos, and I was going to be like, and I love that you feel comfortable sharing that.
If I was doing that, you would never hear about it. That's between me and myself.
Sarah, what did you think of the Brian match? Were you shocked and interested?
I generally am not very interested in Brian Danielson in the ring. I'm sorry, Brian Danielson, you seem like a lovely man. But Zack Sabre Jr., I will happily watch anytime, because that is not a human man. That is some kind of animated rubber thing, and he does things that should not be possible.
They both were up to that in that match. Yeah. They both were. I was like, bodies don't, they're not supposed to be like that. That's not how it's supposed to be.
Fingers going backwards and like, you know, should not be doing that. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was funny to me that they kept being like, this match is going to determine who's the best technical wrestler of all time. I was like, well, it's not though. It's just not. Like, it's like FTR being like, Young Bucks, this tag match is going to prove who's the best tag team. It's like, it doesn't though.
It means nothing. Mox was on commentary during all of these matches. And I never want to have another pay-per-view where Mox isn't wrestling, but it was almost worth it to have him on commentary that much. He's incapable. He's me on a mic. He just says whatever he's thinking. And then it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
He was like talking over everyone too. So like Nigel couldn't get a word in. And then eventually Nigel started like screaming things because he just like was trying to talk. And Mox kept, especially during the Bryan Danielson match, he just kept saying like the weirdest thing. Like I saw people on Twitter being like, yeah, Excalibur would be like, oh, and you know, that's a whatever suplex. And then Mox would be like, Brian Danielson, he loves to run like an animal. He writes the weirdest erotica. He's just like, okay.
I want him to be on every BCC commentary. I think they should bring him back. I don't think they will because he got in trouble for swearing.
I wondered if that was a work, though, because it's like, surely you can swear on a pay-per-view.
He did it during the Zero Hour, which is on YouTube.
Oh. Can you not swear on YouTube?
It might still be kayfabe. It might be a work, but that's the reasoning that he wasn't supposed to swear on YouTube.
Wow. What a bad boy.
I love the idea of them getting fined for stuff like that. I would do anything to get my hands on the records of whoever keeps track of the fines, because I want to know what other fines are going on back there.
Yeah, man, I know. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that like disciplinary stuff that we just never hear about. It's like, I want to hear who else punched Sammy. I feel like there's, we haven't heard the whole list.
But like even like stuff like somebody like stole all of the cookies from catering, or who is constantly late for their matches. You know, like I want to hear who like is constantly missing their planes. Like I want to hear that. I want to be somebody getting complaints at hotels.
Yeah. Do you think like Amanda Huber has to go deal with some of that stuff? Like if someone does eat all the cookies at catering, she's the one who's like, guys, this is for everybody.
I hope. I mean, she really seems to enjoy her job. And to be honest, if that was my job, I would.
I would really enjoy it.
If I was like, Chuck and Trent, that's another $500. You have to stop stealing the cookies. You have to. They're for everybody.
Mustard packets are not for throwing.
Okay, Brochachos. Let's see. So this was like the worst because there are not only so many matches, but there were so many pre-tapes that I had to like track down. I had at one point like 8 cage side seats recaps open and I was just control effing for MJF and like just like marking down. This was MJF. He really puts me through it.
Thanks again. Thanks again for hosting this week.
So at Grand Slam, we had a promo where Adam visited Roddy in the hospital. Roddy is getting like at least a billion EGOT awards from me for the way he was just like just saying, "I can't see you, Adam. Come closer."
When Adam was like, "Open your eyes, Roddy,"
and he just so went, funny. "Oh." And then the Kingdom like leaning over his side and like tending to him was like killing me. The way that they're like jealous cats about him, unbelievable.
So funny.
Adam Cole left because he had to go be ringside for MJF and Samoa Joe, but I don't really understand the logistical like time and space of this episode, but it doesn't really matter. So he got to MJF and he was with MJF when MJF was giving a promo on Samoa Joe, but then Roddy called and was like, "You have to come back." And so Adam Cole was like, "Okay, I'm going to go back to Roddy, but I will be back in time for your title match." And MJF was like, "Ugh, fine. Okay." So Adam Cole goes back to Roddy. We don't see that, but the MJF and Samoa Joe match starts. And Adam comes running in, and I didn't actually see this happen, and I didn't want to go back and rewatch it because I felt like I was like, well, I don't really want to see it. But I think did he come down the ramp running and then just try to jump off the end, and that's how he broke his ankle? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, proper. To see him completely kind of stumble and crumple and have to kind of limp around. It's horrendous. It's really upsetting.
Oh my God. That's yikes. It's the fact that Britt said that he broke it in 3 places and tore a ligament.
Yeah.
My God.
It's crazy how like the things people get injured on are so often like that. Like jumped off the ramp and it's just like landed weird.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, it's one of those agreed. You can imagine how it feels. Like so many wrestling moves, you think, I don't know how it would feel to take a pile driver, but like just jumping and landing like an idiot. Like I can imagine that.
My best friend turned, she was wearing flip-flops and she turned, I think someone called her name and she turned and she broke her foot sliding off the flip-flop. Oh. And like in this freak situation where like doctors were like, How did you do that? And she's like, I fell off a flip flop. My foot was on the flip flop and then it went off
so
and it fell apart. So he limped through the rest of the match, but I think the entire community knew something was wrong like instantly. So there was a match that was planned to be filmed for Rampage afterwards, which was the Righteous versus the Hardys versus Best Friends. And the winner of that match was going to fight Brochachos. The consensus that I've heard from Dave and like the like other dirt sheets is that they change whatever happened, they changed the finish. And it haunts me to think that Best Friends might have been in any part of this. And it got and like on the one hand, I'm like glad if the plan was always for a team to get beat by MJF, then I'm glad it wasn't Best Friends because I do think it's kind of humiliating for a tag team to get beat by a singles wrestler. But at the same time, the fork of the universe where Best Friends got to feud with Brochachos, I would like that. I wish I lived in that world.
Yeah,
it can still happen. I don't know. I'm imagining like Chuck Taylor taking a kangaroo kick and then getting pinned, and I don't like it.
I do want to see him take a kangaroo kick, not the pin part, but I do want to see him. I do want to see him and Greg get hit with a kangaroo kick. I do want that.
I absolutely do too. Are right that he would immediately then take a pin.
He would immediately get pinned. Yeah, so true. So true. On the following Dynamite, after a pre-tape where MJF and Adam Cole went fishing and discussed the concept of friendship, and that made a lot of men very angry, they did an in-ring thing where Adam Cole announced his injury and seemed like he was ready to vacate the championships, but MJF cut in and said that he would still fight the Righteous, but it would be a handicap match, the two of them against him. Also in that episode, Jay White came out and he and MJF did a back and forth, setting up Jay as MJF's next single appointment. At the end of that episode, 4 masked guys beat up Jay White. A 5th man appeared wearing MJF's devil mask with like a bulge around his neck. At WrestleDream, MJF wrestled the handicap match, defeating the Righteous and retaining the tag titles for him and Adam Cole. Then on Dynamite this week, Adam Cole was in a full whatever happened to Baby Jane situation where Brody was making him rearrange furniture and just finding little chores so that he could keep Adam Cole from staying, from leaving. It was perfect. The Bang Bang Gang came out to talk shit on MJF for beating up Jay. MJF came out and swore that it wasn't him. He hadn't done it, that someone had stolen his mask. Jay ambushed him, stole the belt, and ran off with it as he challenged MJF to a full gear match. Okay. So, with the caveat that I understand that they likely had like 10 minutes to come up with a plan in between Dynamite ending and Rampage starting, do you think that this is the right pivot? I think that they should have dropped the belts. I think MJF should have lost.
I think they should have lost, but not to the Righteous. Like, yeah. I think they should have lost to, like, best friends or someone. Like, not cool. Even to be, like, a best friends apologist. But, you know, just, like, a different tag team that didn't, like, show up 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Am I going to have to defend the Righteous?
I mean, honestly, I like the Righteous. Like,
I like
song,
the Righteous. I like the song.
Me.
I have historical fondness for Bill Carr. It's not the Righteous that are the problem. I don't think it's cool when one guy beats two guys. Like, almost never does that work for me. I'm like, that's not cool, man.
I mean, he only has to fight them one at a time. It's fine.
But okay, he gets so much more tired than they get.
But he can fight Bryan Danielson for a whole hour.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that he should have dropped the belts to someone and then focused on Jay and the world title. And then when Adam Cole was back, they could have restarted this.
I actually have less problem. Like, I don't mind that much that he beat two guys, but I do think it's like Adam Cole's going to be out for a while. So, like, why are they keeping these ROH tag belts on them? Like, just get rid of it and pivot.
Without Adam Cole, I do think, like, it's too much for MJF to, like, juggle.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe they can just plug Kyle Fletcher in there. Anyone needs a tag partner, he's going spare.
It would be so funny if it was like a transitive property where Adam Cole could just nominate someone to be his representative, you know? It would work if they could do that, because then Adam Cole could nominate, well, Roddy's got the neck thing, but still, like, if he could get Roddy in there, that's very funny. Like, if Roddy and MJF had to work together, that would be worth it. But
I keep thinking that's going to happen, and it doesn't, but who knows.
What do you think about Jay White and MJF? I think they weirdly are not doing a very good job. What do you guys think?
I did agree with you. I had a hard time focusing on this promo, their promos together. I was just like, I'm not following this well.
What about you, Sarah?
I enjoyed it. I think Jay White is still very new to me. So I'm quite excited to discover Jay White. So maybe that was weighing in.
I'm very interested to see if they do any promos. I skipped over it, but Jay White and Adam Cole are going to be wrestling on this coming Tuesday. And I'm very interested to know whether they're going to have any kind of promo stuff, because I don't have the biggest history with Jay White, but we did have him on the Forbidden Door, the original Forbidden Door, where he had the most electric and sexy chemistry with both Adam Cole and Hangman. And so I feel like I know what it's like when Jay is trying. And with like MJF, I'm like, for some reason you two aren't talking to each other. Like you're talking to the crowd and stuff. Like, I don't know. I think Tofu is stupid and Jay is not, like, his insults to MJF are not like specific. So like it's just glancing off me when I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but for some reason it's not. But I mean, like, I still like Jay White and I like Bang Bang Gang, and I mean, I'm happy for Jay to be back on Dynamite and not in the Collision silo, but
yeah.
I just feel like both of these men, I've seen both of these men do better, and I would have expected this to be like, they're going after each other.
It's always so interesting when people like don't have good chemistry, even though both guys individually you've seen do good with other people. It's just like,
Yeah, agreed.
So the whole thing with the, like, guys in black and in the devil mask,
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that was pre-planned, or do we think that was a new thing, or where the hell did that come from? And why do I feel like it doesn't make sense?
I think that was the reason to make Jay White furious. Like, it went from just like, oh, I would like your belt, to, oh, I want to murder you. And I thought that it was going to have something, some way that, like, Roddy is manipulating MJF into looking like he is going to betray Adam Cole. Like, I thought that there was something, like, Roddy clearly, I think Roddy's behind it, and he wants everybody to think it's MJF. So I thought it was something that Roddy was pulling, but now I wonder if it's going to end up being retconned if Adam Cole's out and they can't do the thing that they were planning to do. So I have a feeling what ends up happening is going to look a little different.
It's the mask thing. It really bothers me, because I'm like, but why would MJF attack someone wearing his own mask?
And I'm sure that's what MJF is going to say. MJF is going to be like, you fucking know it's my mask. It wouldn't have been me.
I don't know. I'm just like, that's a really bad way to frame someone. Like, why would that doesn't make any sense.
That's very true. I do like how Roddy is moving into this, like, more mastermind space where he's, like, really getting Adam Cole, like, doing some stuff. It's great. Like, I love that Adam Cole's being, like, pulled between his two.
It was very psychologically chewy, because, like, the part where, like, he gave Adam Cole a gift in a way that was, like, don't you love hanging out with me? I give you the things that you want. And Adam Cole, like, was, like, unguardedly, like, of course I want a scooter. And then immediately Roddy was like, well, if you like the scooter so much, why not stay here with me? And you're like, sir, this is bad behavior.
It's very funny, too, because I feel like, was it Tony Schiavone has been saying this whole time that Roddy's very manipulative? And I was like, oh, whatever. Like, he is not. But now it's like, oh, you knew.
He really is. He's a snake and a half. Just like,
the kingdom just doesn't know anything about interior design. Like, you need to move the furniture around.
I am so obsessed with everything about the kingdom. Like, I love them anyway. Like, I kind of have a screen cap on my phone from like 6 months ago where I'm like, the kingdom is going to be the next thing that I get brainworms about. Like, I can tell I'm going to fall in love with them. But, like, when they were just hugging that giraffe.
That was so funny. And, like, they're doing great, like, background prop work. Yes. Like, it's fantastic.
They really are. Yes. And that match with Best Friends on Collision, where they turned up with their suitcases so that they could immediately leave to go and visit Roddy afterwards. And, like, and Mike Bennett grabbing the mic, and he, like, after the match, he's completely out of breath and just kind of goes, Wiener Punch, Pile Driver, Roddy. I can't even do a sentence. I was crying. It was so good.
It was so good. It was so, so good. Funny. I really do like a little bit of slapstick comedy. You know, like,
they were doing great work with those suitcases. Yeah. I was dying. And then it's been killing me, too, now that Roddy's, like, escalated to always wearing a hospital gown. Like, and when they brought him out in the wheelchair and Excalibur just started laughing, he was like, does he check himself into a hospital, like, in every city we go to? Which I can't stop thinking about. It's so funny.
All right. We have to hit our last topic. It is Heartlander. So Chris Statlander. Oh, so Jade. So Jade got her rematch. She did her last match with AEW. She let Chris beat her cleanly, which ruled. And then she hugged her. That freaking ruled. And then Chris fought Britt. Do you guys agree that that was, like, weirdly, like, why did you sacrifice this match on, like, a random collision?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Yeah. No build, no nothing. Yeah.
But then they started building her Wrestle Dream opponent, which was Julia, which at first I was a little nervous about, because Julia is such, like, an inexperienced wrestler. And as much as I love Chris, sometimes she's not the best when she's against, like, inexperienced wrestlers, because, like, she has a hard time slowing down for them. But I thought that match freaking ruled. Like, it was really good. Julia's improved a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really hope that Malakai has lost all rights to The Mist, because Julia, Julia, the way that she is wielding it is so good. What she's done to Willow.
I know. I really feel like Julia Hart is, like, doing House of Black so much better than any of the guys are. It's incredible. Yes. It's like her look is so much better. Like every week she's like she came out in that Corpse Bride thing and looked amazing. Like the song. And then what she's doing with The Mist has been so much more fun.
Yeah. And if they turn the Willow thing into a storyline, I would love it. Because Willow came out for her match with Julia furious. And she stomped down the ramp. And she wasn't smiling. And she wasn't bouncing. She was just rip shit. I was like, please, I need this. Whatever's happening here.
And Sky Blue's doing that as well. I think my dream is that we just forget about the guys and the House of Black is now a little coven of spooky witches.
That would be so good.
Brody can stay if he continues just doing this like silent enforcer thing.
Yeah.
I like that. That's fine.
He can bark and he cannot speak. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like when a man has to be a bit player for a woman's story. Mm-hmm. Like that is good with me. Yeah.
I will also say that I found it startlingly attractive when Julia came up behind Chris and was like ready to mist her, and then Chris turned around and smacked the mist out of her mouth.
Yes. Like, oh my god.
This is disgusting in a very viscerally erotic way. Can you explain the reaction that I'm having?
Yeah. It was incredible. They were doing great work in this match. Like, I was pleased.
Yeah.
You guys, we made it to the end. You did it.
You did such a good job of managing time, too. Thank you so much. There was so much to get through.
So much. And we're barely over. We're like 10 minutes over.
Yeah. Yeah, barely. It's incredible.
This is huge for me. I'm going to get a good grade in hosting.
You are. Yeah,
you really are.
And next week, we're going to get you there, too, Anne. We're gonna nail it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Two times in a row.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sarah, is there anything we didn't talk about? Is there anything you would like to say? Do you want to send a little message to Dustin to say, like, get your shit together?
Matt Jack has listened, so he can pass it along to Dustin.
I asked you to stop saying that.
What do I want to say? The pressure. I'm kind of like mentally going through like what is kind of my brand that I haven't said on this one. I didn't talk about how Aussie Open were on Collision before Mark Davis's terrible injury, and they were wearing suits. That was delightful. Enjoyed that a lot. Oh yeah. Kyle Pletcher had this little like waistcoat and tie situation. He looked really buttoned up, like he was going to a wedding and he was like a child. And Mark Davis did not have that. He just had a shirt that was like slightly gaping around his chest in a way that was very relatable and very sexy at the same time.
I'm gonna need to see some photographs.
I think you
at your convenience.
Because they weren't. It was a match that I was spectacularly uninterested in because it involved FTR, but Aussie Open were on commentary wearing suits. That's why they were wearing suits, because they were being commentary boys, which was very cute.
Very nice.
Do you remember that meme that was going around that was like this guy that like wore a suit to the hospital and they were like, why are you wearing a suit? And he was like, I'm about to meet my new nephew and I want to make a good impression. That like has the same vibes.
That's so sweet.
Shows up to commentary in suits. Yeah, we're here to make a good impression. What are you talking about?
That's like how Chuck Taylor wore a suit to Wembley.
Oh, yeah. He did wear a suit to Wembley.
Sweet boy.
And Trent did not and had no idea that they was going to do that.
No.
That's very funny.
I had like no signal and all I could see was the text saying like, Chuck Taylor was wearing a suit. And I was like, someone has to get me a photograph. I need it.
So funny.
I should plug the podcast.
I'm about to do that for you.
Amazing.
Sarah, you are... One of the listens every week, and I, now that I no longer have a commute, I have a really hard time listening to podcasts. So I really enjoy you and MJ. That is Waffly Bollocks, a thing that Americans find easy to say.
And just to make it really difficult, it's Bollocks with an X.
Yes. That's yes, right. We will retweet their Twitter, although if you follow us on Twitter, you know because we retweet it all the time. But you guys are doing a fantastic job, really. And I really appreciate when you guys tell us what is going on in other promotions, because you know that we don't know.
When I just get overexcited and go to 5 shows in a month in between 3 AEW pay-per-views and then think that I might die. That's always a good time.
And again, your personal Twitter is Awfully Waffly.
It is.
And it's a good follow as well. Also, you're the one who showed us Cara Noir and broke her for like a week and a half.
That was amazing. I'm so sorry. but but I've the universe has punished me in that every British indie wrestler I fall in love with now immediately goes to Japan. Like, immediately. Yeah. It's like a thing.
Rough.
Three in a year. That's too many.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. You fit in perfectly. Please keep us, keep our numbers in your phone. We might be calling you back for a guest host spot because you fit in fantastic. I know that Allie is going to be extremely jealous not to have met you when she listens to this later. So again, next we are, Allie is on vacation next week as well. So we will have Trish Spears, listen to the Trish and Sarah podcast. Listen to Waffly Boffly.
I mean, if I could go back in time 16 weeks, maybe call it something else. But
listen, if I knew what I knew now, maybe this podcast would have been called the Leah Ann and Allie Wrestling Podcast. You know, because like Trish and Sarah are never going to lose their names.
That's true.
I think so.
So, I've been Leah.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Sarah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corgan. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, at Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.